scripture this morning that is in the bulletin is in reference to where the sermon will be made. Genesis 40, verse 1 to 23. The scripture reading text is found in James 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Good morning. Welcome to part 8. That song, as we went all along, could have been written by Joseph in prison with all his cellmates and friends chanting in the background and singing in the morning. But he realized he was not alone. So the church turns on to the time of all joy, my brother, and the new trial for the day of coming. Remember, say, what you can do when you encounter problems and challenges. You think Joseph said, we can do when he was put in prison? I kind of think he did, because he knew the consequences. He probably spread a bullet, knowing that he was on top wall for what he took and journey. And he too took his life, thanks to God and God's word who worked through God's will. There's one other text, Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's what I call our sufferings, right? The testament. How many of you have had some trials or difficulties? Give those a hand and father them for yourself. We live in a sinful world, and we all are. Do you rejoice with your adversity or suffering? Today I want you to pick out a pen, and on those blank pieces in the back of your Bible, write the title, The Benefits of Adversity, chapter 40. And underneath that, write numbers 1 through 5. I'm going to give you all the benefits of adversity that Joseph received and you can use to help anyone that is going through some trial adversity so they can understand that God is with them before, during, and after their adversity that they may be experiencing and how to handle this problem. We are not alone. One big principle that Joseph learned in all of this loneliness: God is with him, and he is with God. Joseph invited God along with all of his circumstances, and it's forced to believe and finished to believe in the power of truth. Dear God, we hear the story of Joseph and his situation and condition. We know that he has promised to be with us in all our circumstances and help us to learn that sometimes we saw some benefits to the charge of them, and we can understand them, and we can want them, and we can see them behind. Help us to learn from these kind of choices and things, and be with us, and we can accept you as our Savior, so that we can be with you when you can be with us. Lesson from Joseph, part 8, found in Genesis chapter 40, verses 1 to 22, the next one I'm talking about. I had lived through and was about drafted into the Vietnam War, so this story means a lot to me. On November 27, 1965, Howard Rutledge parachuted into the hands of the North Vietnamese when his jet fighter was not handled. The story of his subsequent 7-year captivity and torture was popularized in a best-selling book and movie called In the Presence of Violent Enemies. On December 1, he was placed in cell number 2 in Heart Rate Hotel, and he came up prison by American POWs in the Bell in Hanoi. He talks in vivid language to him of his imprisonment. He writes, on the door slab, the key turned in that rusty iron lock, feeling an utter loneliness left over me. laid down on cold cement slabs in the places with the smell of human excrement turned my nostrils. A rat as large as a small cat scampered across the slab beside me. The walls and floors and ceilings were caked in silt. Fires covered the tiny windows all above the door. It was cold and hungry. My body ached from its warm lungs and crying muscles. It is hard to describe what solitary confinement can do to the nerve and to the man. I'm quickly tired of standing or sitting down, sleeping or being awake. There are no books, no papers, no pencils, no magazines. My choice of CC is not day and getting grandma. Once the years go by, when we don't see the moon, green grass, or flowers, we are locked in them alone and silent in the filthy little cell, breathing still lot more and trying somehow to keep this from the food and the food. Whenever we leave, a bad sense is like that, the thought immediately comes to mind. Why, if God, our company, has proved this to happen to one of his children? Why does God ever allow such intense community problems of any serious sort to come to pass in a person's life to the extent that they fear for their own survival? As Howard Rutledge documents in his book, as time has raised in 1972, they ran their deafness and damages to adversity. And Joseph would learn that as well. We pick up the story after he was naked for 11 years. In Genesis 37:2, we learn that Joseph was 17 years old, around time he was sold into slavery. In chapter 41, verse 46, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the Philistine area. And we learn that events in Genesis 40 were careful this lesson occurred in 2 years before he was made prime minister. Therefore, Joseph was around 27 or 28 at this point in our story. The prison in which Joseph was incarcerated was not a prison for common criminals, but since he had been a prisoner, a royal prisoner of his family, those who had some connection to the royal cause of Pharaoh, for example, Pharaoh's chief butler and baker were also sent to this prison. All in all, actually, why you were incarcerated was how Pharaoh was chosen in the matter. There's two. Who they served enough and didn't fall God, and they are not called. Joseph noticed one morning that each of the teachers had some clear fragments on their faces. Upon inquiry, he discovered that each man had a dream the night before that he did not understand. And there was no one to interpret the dreams. Joseph volunteered to interpret the dreams, telling the man that, quote, interpretation belonged to God, which he did. The other dream is recorded in verses 9 to 13. He saw a grapevine with three branches that added into blossoms and took forth ripe grapes. He saw himself in the dream, picking grapes and squeezing them as if he was cut and putting them on top of the Pharaoh's hand. Joseph explained that the three branches were 3 days, and that in 3 days the butler would be restored to his position in Pharaoh's apartment. During the butler's journey, the baker King Joseph did dream, verses 16 to 19. The baker had seen himself carrying 3 baskets and a pan while the food was prepared. But there were birds feeding the goats that were in the basket. Joseph had bad news for him. The PNC baskets represented 3 days, after which Pharaoh would pay the baker and the birds would continue to march towards the mountain. 3 days later, it happened to be the first one. And in the city of the butler, the baker was developed just as Joseph could have been. But something else more important to Joseph happened when the butler and baker were released. brothers, their tribes, and their flocks, and Joseph stayed home and waited in their home drowned. Joseph needed to be taken up if he was going to study leadership in Egypt, and he breathed down and took away with his brothers of his family. Joseph went and told his physical experience as one of the good men, and some fear men. He saw his cousin, the military, and the iron that bound him in the prison, and he was found in the past of the country. He gained wisdom and a deeper perspective, and he became a man suited to the nation. God gave the same to the people of Israel. And all the way he had gained Joseph from Jersey, which he was found in trouble from Joseph's Jersey. God makes him strong through suffering. In today's church, the doctrine that God wants you to be rich and comfortable is being taught. You can make all the doctrine of the New Testament. Every person who receives significantly by God in the New Testament, including Jesus Christ himself, is very tested for the sake of the gospel. The idea that we will go through the spiritual life and find strength and trouble and affliction in the fall of God used the judgment on Joseph to a man qualified for leadership and service, and he will do the same for others. Number three, following through and teaching. Nothing tests our character more than adversity. When circumstances are going our way, it is easy to act spiritually and truly. It is in my turn to this place that we are called upon to demonstrate our character and humility. Character is often confused with reputation, but there is a big difference. Reputation is better than who we are, and character is who we really are. Reputation is what men think you are, and it is character that God knows you are. Reputation is what is cheerful about you, peace in you, and it is character that the angel says about Jesus in the form of God. Reputation will change the circumstances and the seasons of life, and it is character that you will change. When you say the situation is not the way it is anymore, and the situation you're dealing with is going to be really long. Without reasons, you should welcome problems and tell us if you say there is a chance to keep them in the middle of the night. Again, when things are going well, that is not a complete picture of our character. We need both good times and hard times to get the full picture. And that way, problems prove and people do. Number four, problems produce the sense of dependency. Problems produce the sense of dependency. We have already seen in previous lessons how the Lord is in the gift of the prophet. Genesis 39, 12, and 21 says, and Joseph's master took him and put him in prison and placed him in two prisoners for his family. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison. That is why God is not certain to us not separate us from the Lord, but from him. Walking in righteousness and purity is the source of the kingdom of God, and sin breaks in that relationship. Even if we are in prison, there's no other difficult circumstance, God remains with us to bring the kingdom of God. Never have the deep sense of comfort within us between we are in following the kingdom of God. We need problems in our lives to show us how dependent we are upon the Lord, and to remind us that God gave this now and the sustaining self culture that we live in is not biblical when it comes to spiritual things. Number five, problems prepare our hearts for our ministry. Joseph was in prison unjustly and encountered two of his fellow prisoners who were obviously trapped, as the father was in prison. And Joseph came to them the next morning and saw that they were rejected. So he asked them to fish where the custody left him in his master's house. Why did they look so similar to him? And seeing him in the water, he saw the tears and saw pity. Joseph took the opportunity to run to the two women in the room of the house. Joseph did not think God had abandoned him in the light of his circumstances. In fact, he was fully confident in God's presence that his own spirit had been given him and dedication to the man of the dream. There is no ministry for those who are suffering like the ministry given by the man of the prophet. That is exactly what Paul referred to as superstition of mind for himself. We may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, but the comfort of this we ourselves are comfortable is not understood. Suffering that we are able to reach out with authenticity to comfort others who are suffering. How can we reach out to others who are hurting and give us more than a higher experience that they can have in their own kind of suffering? We cannot say, I know how you feel. If we have not thought, it can come from the middle of the night. Joseph has shown that problems provide greater opportunities and problems to know spiritual maturity and problems to serve integrity and problems to get a sense of dependency and problems to develop a health condition that is not enough on higher standards. Our goal is to be on POW that is not changed by the years of suffering and pain. We can prove that we learn the power of prayer. He writes in his book, words don't come easy when you read it, but even when these attitudes is covered in prison, an incredibly powerful force is there to be in our lives. I learned that I can pray to God in any place, anywhere from the grocery of silence and self-care. I learned in prison that he could hear me, whether in worship or in following me, or alone in the solitary confinement. Only God can power the outrage in person, the means of peace and not prayer. And it is in person that we learn the importance of charity. He said, I was sent down to Vietnam as a church driver. This interested in the Christian faith, and was returned to faith and aware of God, and anxious to stay in fellowship and prayer. I promised God that the first time I had freedom, I would take my family to the home church, and at the close of the service, I would walk to the front and confess to the Lord and God, and take my responsible place as a member of the American family. In prison, I learned what it meant to be isolated, struggling to build my faith alone. I have been called never to be outside of many people, Christians, and the days of men. And I took my brothers in prison to teach them how to pray and the importance of the local church. And God took my brothers in prison to teach them about the Bible. That's what I want to say. The first thing they see in that local prayer I was called never to be without the Bible again. I did not do it by the Bible again. Those verses of God's Word that I have memorized, and those verses that I have challenged from other prisoners' families, have been a living source of strength in my heart. I was determined to begin applying God's Word to my family's life again, even in the smallest moments. I don't know what you are missing until you are the problem. And it is in person that God taught my witness in the second two times. He writes in this book, that memory, especially Hansel's, is a curriculum connected with Jesus and his children. I was feeling guilty for coming on to a little attention, and for the compensate, I offered them money to buy them tender Mexican merchandise they desired. I showed my son, John, a beautiful letter of grace, and elaborate form of shirt set, a colorful shirt, and candy. We chose instead of other commentaries, drugs of Jesus, and harassing the family. And offered him the family to meet the church and maybe to try kindness for the family for comfort. And every conversation, we might be called on Father for sensitive reaction, but not on my reaction. Here my son was already strong, so he felt me more than baseball and other times he had. And he was sending me a signal flower to John Matthew. And I wondered how many signals I must have given to Philip and Father and Heavenly and Father and Morris and John. I was too busy doing other things and too very big in that moment. Father and Greg was in the back of my kindness and he was very strategic to my life. And I decided in deep love, in prison, that if I were ever to be free from him, I would listen and try to understand and try to show spiritual interest in my home and my family. But if you ask these people in prison, this person will not be forced into walls of the town, filled with the presence of physical suffering. And God keeps you and the providence to meet in your home. Because we follow, it's not my bad, but I don't want to. So I don't know if they catch up with me, and then the next thing I know, I will find out what he wants me to do. Thank God for the invitation that God wants to be to make you a Christian and to be able to find the right thing for them and to cooperate with me. God, thank you very much. Dear God, thank you for this story of Jesus. I'm going to go to the hospital.